Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
He's over it. That's it. He's had it. Over it.
Like he should celebrate. Oh my goodness.
Is the realest song I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. Alright.
I'm kind of over it.
No, I want to hear his freedom.
He's over it. Is this freedom song?
It's his freedom song. Are you though?
To the Chonilla podcast. I am Chloe.
And I am Shirley, aka Dr. Afua Cooper. And you're listening to the Chonilla podcast, the personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
Yo. And it is Monday, October 14th at 3:20 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern time.
That is correct.
Are you over it?
Over it.
I'm over it.
Cause I'm done.
Cause you're feeling fine.
Cause I'm so done. Cause you're not the one.
I wasted my time. So now I got to rewind. Cause I'm over it. So you know my AKA, Clove?
What's your AKA?
My doctor, Dr. Fua Cooper.
Okay.
Well, she is a poet, author, historian, living in Toronto, born in Jamaica. She holds a PhD in history with specialties in slavery, abolition, and women's studies. And she is the one of Canada's premier expert and chroniclers of the country when it comes to Black past and Black Canadian history.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's she good. Even wrote a book. It's called The Hanging of Angelique. It's the untold story of Canadian slavery and about Canadian slavery and the burning of Old Montreal.
Oh, wow.
That basically explores the life and death of Marie-Joseph Angelique, mm-hmm. who's a Portuguese-born black slave mm-hmm. woman who was hanged in Montreal in 1734 for allegedly setting fire to the city.
But I'm over it.
I'm over it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Insuperable. Yeah.
Something inside or in somewhere enclosed insuperable.
Would you like the phrase for context?
Sure.
I think the difficulties in believing that all the individuals of the same species, wherever located, have descended from the same parents are not insuperable.
Like they're not different? Like they're...
Do you want to know?
Yes.
It's an adjective. It's incapable of being passed over, overcome, or surmounted.
Okay.
Yeah. Insuperable.
Will I use that word? Probably. That's a probably yeah. use that
like it's
word.
In the probably category?
Mm-hmm. You know what? No. I think it will be. It's leaning towards a yes that I
really?
Use that word. Yes. I just have to find the, yeah.
As in like whiteness is not insuperable?
Mm.
Ayo.
How are you, babe?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
You're feeling super good because you finally figured out the compressor.
Oh, my God. That's been on my shoulders forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
You even went to Long and McQuaid.
But I'm trying to plug this into this, and I don't understand why. And they're like, I don't get it either.
And I'm like, shit. This all has to do with my experience. I get it. Okay.
No experience, but you go like ham and super nerd, okay, on things, which I appreciate and love so much.
Okay.
And I think what happened.
I don't like where this is going, but okay.
Why did you say you don't?
Because
like
I don't trust you.
No, listen.
I'm listening. Listen.
I don't think people go that level of ham.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not?
They're like, as long most people are like, as long as it works.
As long as it works. Okay.
But you're like, no, I need to understand. I need to know the words. I need to know how things connect. I need to know the definitions. I need to know like the whole. So when you show up at stores and you ask these like advanced, super advanced questions, they're like, do you hear yourself? You're like, yeah, I do.
What language are you speaking?
They're like, do you hear yourself? Does the sound that you put in the microphone comes to your headset? You're like, yeah, but I need
right. They're like, problem solved. And you're like, no. Problem is not solved.
Exactly. So it's just, I see it in their faces too. It's kind of funny. They're like, oh.
Can somebody tell me what the fuck this guy's talking about?
Let me get the oldest person. Because
he sounds like he knows what he's saying.
In the store to maybe the person who has the most experience, who happens to usually be much older, might know.
Yeah, and white.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
My week, it's been good. I feel like I have to do some catching up.
Okay.
It's weird. But, gotcha. But it's been good. I had like an amazing, profound conversation. So, you know, thank you for being the best producer for my show that I just launched, Black Canadian Content Creators.
You're welcome.
And after two episodes, like I'm getting some really good buzz and feedback.
That's great.
And I connected with this lady who also has a podcast called, her name is Sarah. She hosts a show.
Sarah.
Is it Sarah? That's what he says in the song, right? Why do I feel like maybe it's not Sarah?
I don't think it is.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah. I don't know why I think it's Sarah.
I don't know why. Okay, keep telling your story and I'm going to try and remember.
Okay, anywho. So Sarah, she hosts a podcast called The Great Canadian Woman Podcast.
Gotcha.
And so she DM'd me and be like, oh, I really like what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was a conversation about a woman who she has a great group of women that she helps. You know, she's also a coach, business coach. And
Roger that.
And her show is kind of like the same idea as my show, where we put a spotlight on for me, Black content creators who happens to be Canadian or live in Canada.
Gotcha.
For her, it's like women Canadian. But she realized that her group is really leaning, not even leaning, it's really white.
Okay.
So, and she was challenged by all of us, you know, she puts a summit together and it was a Black woman who was just like, hey man, like, where are we? And
are we good here?
Yeah. And right. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right. How come I don't see us?
Oh, yeah. Right. I like this, but where are we?
Yeah. And then, so at first she was having like, anyway, when she DM'd me at first, I did have some side eye about it.
Sure.
Cause I was like, is she trying to like,
yeah, how much time does she think I owe her?
Tokenized for my group.
Sure.
I don't want to be like, oh, well, I'm trying to diversify and you're going to use my group for that. Like, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff, right?
I hear you.
But after a conversation, we had like a good hour and a half to almost 2 hour conversation.
Nice.
And I teared up because I was like, first of all, she was really aware of how much she was like, I didn't realize how much I was ignoring, you know, like how privileged I am
right.
And how much the world is constructed in a way for me to completely ignore the fact that I'm not even taking my time or a moment to be inclusive.
Right.
You know, like I just thought
I'm not looking to see if
I'm giving access to everyone.
She just assumed her what she does, the name of her show, that is just automatically means inclusive, especially I think we fall a lot on that, a lot of, I would say, white Canadians, liberal Canadians, fall of like, hey, I'm Canadian. So automatically there's this sense of inclusiveness, right? Mm. But she just didn't realize, like, so she, at first when this was brought up, she was like really insulted about that.
Really?
Yeah, like when the person was like,
oh, okay, yeah, like,
because
like,
it's like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, like, yeah.
I'm not racist, you're racist for talking about
gotcha, yeah. But then she was like, you know, and when we're talking about, it's like, well, what made you see more? Like, what made you, because a lot of people,
what just made you want to unpack that?
Unpack this, because a lot of people be insulted and like, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
No.
And then either like be reactive and just kind of like, oh my gosh. You know, like you see it like in a lot of brands, right? They think they're called on something and then all of a sudden they're going to have all these black folks or whatever in their campaign, but still not understand and not done the work in understanding racism and bigotry and biases and all that kind of stuff. Right.
Yes.
So for her, she, you know, she was like, it was her background and like the coaching aspect that she was placing, she used her coaching to kind of look at herself. And then so when she went back into looking her account and everything and the people who are part of her group, like, ooh, eesh, yeah, what just happened?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was I think I'd love to have her on the show.
Okay.
It was very like, in the end of the conversation, I was just like, hey, if only there was so many more white folks who were not afraid to look at themselves, because that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest frustration for BIPOC people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for, you know, like black, indigenous people of color, it's like, just look at yourself.
Right.
Look at your surrounding.
Right.
Have you taken the time to check your blind spots, to challenge your blind spots, to even, not even challenge, to even look for any blind spot? That's the frustration.
Right.
It's like, have you taken the time to look at your blind spots? You know, because you can't just claim that you're something. You can't just claim I'm not racist. You can't just claim I'm not xenophobic. You can't just claim I'm not whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm an ally, but you've never even understood what that means.
Right.
Or put the work on what that means, or put the work on looking at, well, what am I missing here?
Right.
What do I need to understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'll be, yeah, it was really, really great convo. How about you? Nothing?
Nothing new. No? Nope.
Oh, guess what, Clove?
What?
So I started watching, it's called Wu-Tang, An American Saga. Yeah.
Cool.
So I started watching the first episode and I was like, I gotta watch the autobiography first. Like, I gotta watch the documentary first before watching the series. So I started watching the documentary, and Clove, you have to watch.
Okay.
It's the Wu-Tang Clan of Mics and Men.
Okay.
It's so good.
Sounds good.
So good. I learned like five things.
Okay.
So the first thing I learned was that RZA and Old Dirty Bastard and GZA are like cousins or something.
Okay.
Which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that either.
They're kind of like the beginning.
Sure.
Before it even was called Wu-Tang. I think like
they're the vision holders.
Yeah. At the time they had a group called, like, I think three of them were, they were called the Imperial Masters. That was their name.
Gotcha.
And then RZA had a different, like, AKA rap name. I can't remember what it was. So him and GZA had, like, already some idea about the music business, right? So they can utilize the failure of that.
Gotcha.
In order to put those failure lessons or whatever that they know of the business in order to start Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Another thing I learned was that... do you know what Wu-Tang Clan stands for?
No.
Royalty is loyalty.
Okay.
Good to know. And what's really cool is that they're beyond just a group. They're almost like, they're not, They're like brothers. They're like family.
Okay.
So no matter what, as much as they're going to agree, disagree, some stuff, they're going to be like, that's some, you know.
That's some bullshit.
That's some bullshit, but yep. You're still my brother.
Okay. You
know, you're still family. So, I mean, they're... Some of them know, a lot of them in that group have known each other since like 5 years old. Like their mothers know each other.
Yeah. It shows in the longevity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? It's yes. Just, yeah. You're like, yes. And another thing I learned, so that number three, what I learned was you would assume the things or that RZA is the leader of the group. Mm. But he's the one who came up with the Wu-Tang plan, with the Wu plan. However, each member in a way, although he came up with the group plan, they each are their own leaders. Do you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
So what I thought was really fascinating and cool is that how there was like this agreement, this collective agreement.
Gotcha.
And how... they had the group, but one would work on their individual album.
Yeah.
But the group is there is contributing for that. Like if Method Man has an album, there's a contribution as a group.
Awesome.
For his individual. So which I thought, like, that's really, really cool. Number four is that, do you know what is the acronym of Wu-Tang?
No.
Really? I thought you'd know. I'm surprised.
Sorry.
You're like, sorry. It means witty, unpredictable talent and natural game, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the acronym for Wu-Tang.
Sounds good.
And the last thing I've learned is his brother Divine. Woo.
Tang.
Woo.
Tang.
Okay. His older brother, Divine, Mitchell, his name is Mitchell Diggs Divine. So he was pulling the string. He was the management. He was the one who's creating partnerships and deals and everything. He's a bit of a tyrant and a callous businessman, but I think they should have listened to him about investing in properties, especially where they grew up. That could have helped so many people, which he wanted to do, but greed and money and all that kind of stuff kind of got in the way of that kind of bigger picture, but still. But yeah, I definitely recommend it just made me think about, like, if you want to start a business or like that's, it's like you can't do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find your Wu-Tang in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just,
I'm listening.
And that was the lesson for me. It's like you can only go so far on your own that you, every successful, whatever you define success, right? But you tend to find they're never on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
yeah, cooperation is key.
Mm-hmm. So I would definitely recommend check out Wu-Tang of Mics of Men documentary. So
sounds
good.
Good.
It's one of the, it's so good that I'm going to watch it like every year.
Nice.
As a reminder for business planning or,
nice.
You know, for the business or whatever.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I've got, thanks for sharing that. I've got something that came up that's floating around the internet. Leader of the Conservative Party, Andrew Scheer, his old Blogspot page. It's found its way back. It's surfaced.
Blogspot?
Yeah. He has an old Blogspot page.
Okay.
And he, right around the time that Mikhail Jean was getting, asked to be the governor general,
mm-hmm.
he had some pretty interesting thing to say.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, I have a few quick questions for anyone who thinks that Mikhail Jean is a good choice to be our next governor general. His first question is, what are her qualifications?
Because she's black.
What experience does she have that would assist her to carry out her duties as our head of state?
Because she's a woman.
Including the potential to be a referee in a minority government situation. This is like, he might as well be saying, like, can she hold her own in a group full of white men?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what he's hiding.
Yeah, and if you're okay with it, oh, we're going to go in. Yeah.
Mm.
And his next question is, does it bother you that she is a dual citizen, France and
there
Canada?
There we go. There we go.
Would it bother you if instead of a French citizenship, she held a U.S. citizenship?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like hitting on the sensibilities of knowing who he's writing to. Or like that it's predominantly white male politicians. And
the first one was the call to the boys club.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is the call to like anti-immigration.
Yeah.
This third question. It is being reported that her husband is quite chummy with some FLQers belonging to the same group that killed Pierre Laporte.
What?
If her husband was quite friendly with Al Qaeda terrorists, would that be all right?
He wrote that?
Yeah.
This dude.
Yeah, he wrote it at 4:18 p.m. on a Saturday, August 6th, 2005.
I knew he's like a weasel, but man.
But the best thing is though, right? When I think about myself at 2005, I'm a different person.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown.
True. Yeah, it's still true.
Do you know what I mean? This sounds like Andrew Scheer yesterday. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 15 years ago and he still sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote, as for the new governor general, I think this quote sums it up. Check out what Michaëlle Jean had to say about herself.
Okay.
Having a person like me as governor general will mean a lot. Not only to Canadians, I think it will mean a lot for humanity. Right. All of humanity is very excited that you've become governor general. I can just hear a collective gasp of amazement and happiness from hundreds of millions of people all over the globe who are now inspired because you are the new governor general.
He wrote that?
All that, and she's modest too. Ooh. So she's going to try real hard. I'm no longer worried. I hope Michaëlle Jean will be better than Clarkson at being responsible with taxpayers' money. But after all, you can't fall off the floor.
Wow.
Posted by Andrew Scheer, MP, 11:52 p.m., Tuesday, July 19th, 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, what a douche.
Not surprised, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm like, he wrote that. It's not because I'm surprised. I'm more like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
Typical.
It's disgusting.
Wow.
Anyways, it's enough of that racist.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
I don't know. The news.
Go for it.
News. I like news. What is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
The MPP hike housing allowance by 20% as Toronto rental rates keeps jumping high. So basically, Ontario legislators have quietly increased their rental housing allowances for around 20%, arguing that they've been paying it out of their own pockets to subsidize housing in Toronto's hot real estate market. So document obtained by the Canadian Press show the Board of Internal Economy, a little known body that operates the legislator building and sets politicians' living expenses, decided to hike the housing accommodation ceiling in October, retroactive to July 1st, 2018.
Gotcha.
So the monthly rental allowance, which applies to all legislators who lives at least 50 kilometers from the seat of government in Toronto, went from $1,910 to $2,300. So that's their allowance. So it was $1,910, now it's at $2,300.
What does that mean, a renter's allowance?
So basically it's like...
It's like you can say I have a rental property and I bought this and this for it. So
yeah, I think it's like for their office, like MPP's office location.
Okay.
So they get an allowance for their office for their
Gotcha.
So now they're receiving
more money.
Hike. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
While they're cutting education.
And also the pricing of rentals in the city keeps
Amazing.
Going high.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the increase comes up on top of already approved annual hikes tied to the province rent control rate, 1.8% in 2018 and 1.5% in 2017, put in place by the board under the previous Liberal government. They said Tory legislator Sylvia Jones, one of the two voting members of the board, defended the board's decision, saying it was necessary. Okay. After receiving a report showing how many members subsidized their Toronto accommodation, the Board of Internal Economy agreed that the housing allowance would be increased to deal with an increase of housing cost. However, Liberal legislator Michael Couteau, who did not benefit from the latest increase, said the move makes politicians look bad. The government had decided to increase their own housing allowance when they've eliminated school programs for some of the most vulnerable kids in this province, he said. They continue to say that everyone is going to have to sacrifice, but for some reason, they're not part of that sacrifice. The board have come under
Kel fucking surprise.
The board have come under criticism for meeting behind closed doors and offering few details about deliberations.
I wonder if they feel like discriminated against, like, because I'm anti-rich.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so that's the basically. So they're making
don't
all these cuts.
Don't discriminate against me because I'm rich.
To the public, but meanwhile they're getting
Well, they
Kel Surprise, you're gaining some.
They had to cut something. Oh. Come on, Shirley, it's a zero sum game. Not everybody can win. Such bullshit.
Fort Worth police shooting. The officer who killed Tatiana has resigned, and the mayor calls for the shooting unjustified. So basically, the officer who shot her name, Tatiana Coquise Jefferson, 28 years old, was shot in her home Saturday morning.
Yikes.
And in the interim, Police Chief Ed Cross said Monday the officer may face criminal charges.
Gotcha.
Cross said, Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price said the killing of Jefferson was unjustified. I'm so sorry on behalf of the entire city of Fort Worth.
I think it's Fort Worth, but go ahead.
Oh, yes, Fort Worth. Thank you. Gotcha. Yes, it is Fort Worth. To Tatiana's family, it's unacceptable. There's nothing that can justify what happened. 2 seconds after the shouted commands outside of her house, basically the video shows that. So a neighbor, James Smith, who's 62, reported seeing lights on and her front door open around 2:25 a.m. Okay. So he called and he feels extremely guilty about it. And he's like, if I had never dialed the police department, she'd be alive, you know? So there's a body cam footage that captured the moment a police officer investigated the perimeters before he saw a person standing near a window. And you see Tatiana lifting the blind, and that's when he didn't identify himself, and then shoots her. Like,
are we playing this video?
No.
Okay.
It's 3 seconds. Like, okay. Three. Like, lifted her blinds. 1, 2, 3, and then shot.
She's shot. Jesus.
And So now, and the thing is, she was playing video games with her nephew, who's 8 years old.
Oh my God.
And so he witness her getting shot.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the Fort Worth police who the officer, his name is Aaron Dean. He was given 48 hours, which they didn't share, to basically scrub his social media. And that during that 48 hour period, he scrubbed his social media, and that's when he resigned this morning instead of being fired. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the chief at the time said that he was planning to fire him later today, but he quit.
Later that day, he was going to, today. So if he hadn't resigned, he was going to get fired.
He was going to get fired.
Whatever. That's such bullshit.
Yeah. It's definitely, hitting national news. People like Elizabeth Warren tweeted, Tatiana Jefferson should still be alive. We need to reform now, including federal standards for the use of force that incorporate proven strategies like de-escalation, verbal warning requirements, and the use of non-lethal alternatives.
Yeah. And how about you have to wait until somebody shoots a gun at you before you shoot one at them?
Right? Like, it just goes to show
like
you.
Like, they're behind a window, right? Your life isn't threatened. Your life is being threatened. Really?
Lifting so her blind.
Such bullshit.
You know? It's like, it. How can you not think that they are trained to kill black people in America?
Yeah, and if you think that this is an acceptable. If you think that this is an acceptable body count for the policing that we have, then I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's zero body count that should be coming from the police. Zero.
Yeah. And he didn't call 911. James Smith didn't call 911. He called a non-emergency number to request a welfare check.
That's insane.
So the officer who got brought in knows what the call is about.
Mm.
It's not a robbery. It's not a break-in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a check, a welfare check. So you go in aggressive like that?
Mm-hmm.
Murderous? Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know that's a word, but I'm going to made it up right now.
Is now. I'm going to use it.
Yeah?
He went in there with murderous intention.
Yes. Now I got to Google if that exists. But yeah, it's, her family, I feel that little boy, mm-hmm. her nephew.
Yeah.
I can't even.
I've been in discussions with people online who talk about like how the police are in such a like crazy job that, you know, sometimes they shouldn't be expected to not shoot people and things like that. It's like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insanity. Like, you can't dismiss people's lives because they're policing in a way that you like.
Yeah. It's not called peace officers, what they do. Law enforcement. Just the word enforcement has a reactive tone.
Yeah, especially when you connect black skin with criminality.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the law enforcer.
It's aggressive and reactive.
Ugh.
Like, it's not, there's nothing peaceful as police. Yeah. Policing, it's just not peaceful at all. It's not de-escalation. It's not, let's see what the issue is.
And people who say like, oh, well, you just don't hear about like, you know, the good times that the police are when they're good and stuff like that. It's like, well, you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to hear like every single time that they're good. They're just supposed to be good.
Like, period.
Like, anyways.
Yeah. Ava DuVernay tweeted, may your ancestors embrace you and lift you up, dear sister. Please help guide our rage and our tears towards justice for you and justice for all. # Tatiana Jefferson.
Police reform. It needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People are dying.
Yeah. In lighter news.
If you're not trending towards no people dying, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's see where this goes. This man needs to be arrested and trialed. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. In a much lighter news, honey, the last news of the day, Celine Dion reveals her son, Renee, 18, has a girlfriend.
Great.
What are you saying?
I'm not going to let you control my emotions with these topics anymore. Forget it. Not happening.
So Celine has lost her longtime husband, as you know, back in January. And although the fashion icon's kids are eager to jump into the dating pond, Celine recently revealed the feeling isn't mutual for her when it comes to her interest in finding a partner. She's taking her time.
Good for her.
But while she's taking her time, you know, her sons, when they make friends with kids, with girls and stuff, they just automatically like assume like, hey, this is my girlfriend. Who are her twins who are 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
But the proud mama also revealed that her eldest son is already off the market. Just so, you know, is anyone He's 18 now, and he's got a girlfriend, and she's very sweet, Celine.
That's great news.
Actually, no, let me do like her voice. I have an 18-year-old.
You really want, oh my God.
Who has a girlfriend, and she's very sweet.
That's great.
So we hope Celine is single.
Who even asked her for that information?
Just, you know, the news.
Oh my God.
She's like, I don't date. I'm not ready to date. I'm very lucky and happy to have so many people in my surrounding to make me. They make me laugh.
It's like ice picks in my ears.
But I missed to be touched, she confesses. She missed to be touched, baby.
Everybody does.
Yes. So single or dating, we hope Celine is happy. Either way.
Are you done with your news?
I am done with my news.
Thank you. I finished that book.
Oh, wait, yeah. For real?
Yeah.
Okay.
I finished The Man They Wanted Me to Be by Jared Yates Sexton.
Okay.
Toxic Masculinity and A Crisis of Our Own Making. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to close off this discussion on his book just with a few things that he said in the book.
Okay.
And so when going over his behavior in the past, which included watching Fox News as much as possible.
Why did he do that?
That's part of the whole indoctrination that he talks about in the book. That there's, and we talked about it before too, that people have been sucked into the Fox News, you know, right wing agenda bullshit. Mm-hmm. And this is what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. So the rhetoric of this anti-Obama group centered around taxes and government control. But what you heard when you really listened was that white Americans, particularly white males, felt their grip on power loosening by the day. Their slogans all centered on taking their country back, returning things to the way they used to be. Mm. All of it focused on ownership and lost privilege.
Mm.
Yep. Yep, yep,
well,
yep.
That's not news for a lot of black women and indigenous women. We all knew that.
Yeah.
You all know? Right.
And when talking about his father dying at 59 years from diabetes.
His father?
His father died at 59 years old, yeah, okay. From diabetes. Oh. And the story that he tells in the book has a lot to do with not toxic masculinity getting in the way of going to see a doctor.
Oh.
When you're feeling like shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he wrote, according to a recent study by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, American men's lives expectancies are dropping while others increase, leading the divide between male and female life expectancy in this country to grow to 5 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So there's a 5-year gap difference between men and women.
5 years, eh?
Yep.
Wow. That's not, I mean,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a long time.
It's not small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Add that up over, you know, 1,000 men, that's 5,000 years. It's a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when talking about the recruitment for masculine sovereignty. So by putting a kinder and gentler face on these movements, the alt-right has gained power and influence by appealing to recruits who might be tempted to join the KKK or neo-Nazi outfit by presenting themselves as cleaned up intellectual alternatives. Bada boom. Yep.
With suits and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of gross.
Wow.
So overall, the book was pretty good. I did, there was one part near the end where I did take issue with it.
Mm.
And it's because what he notices is that the best results that he's gotten from discussions on masculinity and how toxic it can be and stuff like that, that he's always gotten the best results by using kindness. You know what I mean? So in that part of the book, I was like, okay, it sounds now like he's saying like, you got to be nice to these like pro-Trump racists, you know what I mean? To get through to them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like made me raise my eyebrow, but then the more I read, the more I kind of saw that what he was saying was using toxic masculinity to try and convince these people that what they're doing is wrong is not the right way. It's not going to work.
Yeah. It's like adding more fuel to the fire.
Because you're now playing that game. Right. You're now playing the toxic masculinity game with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And there, since there's no like gauge on like who is the most masculine, they'll just try and up you. They'll try to try and up you and up you and up you and up you. Yeah.
And a perfect example of that is I'll never forget that video in that protest where there's the black man who asked in front of a black man asked, like, I guess he's like a Nazi or something or right wing. He looked like he was wearing Nazi, pretty Nazi, like you can't deny, you know what I mean?
What? This is just a red flag with a white circle and a swastika. And he was yelling at him
like, why do you hate me? Why do you hate me? Right. Oh, and the guy didn't say anything. And he's just like, come here, man. And he just hugged him.
Yeah.
And then as he hugged him, the guy said, I don't know. You know? Yeah. So that's a way to kind of like, I mean, hugging him creates this, like the first part of yelling at him is the almost that toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And then the hugging part kind of like breaks that apart where he's just, it was unexpected. Like he did not expect this man would just grab him thinking maybe this guy's grabbing me to kind of like shake me or maybe punch me. But like thrown off at the fact that this man grabbed me to hug me. Mm-hmm. So it's. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, like, I think I've run into two people, two white males that I know, I've had this conversation, who have said they have people in their family who started being obsessed with Fox News, and how they got obsessed was just around the time when they went through something traumatic, right. Or they've lost their job.
Right.
And it's like, and then all of a sudden they just kind of, people who they've known who's never like that, but just those traumatic experiences, losing their job or something a major accident or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
They, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is that the words that Fox News is using to make them kind of like, let me look a little longer. And next thing you know, it's like a hook. They're hooked. And they get deeper and deeper in it. They start subscribing to like rebel media and stuff. And it just kind of like a funnel that they get into.
Mm-hmm.
It's
creepy.
And I heard it's not much. It doesn't take much for them to get into that funnel.
Sure. So that is toxic masculinity.
Mm.
The man that they wanted me to be.
So how would you rate... If you had to give like a out of 5-star, 5 is the highest, 1 is the lowest.
4.
A 4?
4, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think and he does make note at like towards the end though that the work to fix this is up to white men.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Say that shit again.
Listen, white men. Nobody else's work. Oops.
Shirley's tearing down the studio.
Yeah.
This is insane.
It sure is. Oh.
You ready, honey?
Yeah.
Bible scriptures. 90210.
All right, baby. It's time for Bible scriptures 90210. So the players tonight are Joshua, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, who is the grandson of Aaron, Reuben, leader of the Reubenites, and Gad, leader of the Gadites. Oh, and half the tribe of Manasseh.
Manasseh, Mavakusa.
There it is.
I was waiting for them.
Yes. So last time we heard
about... Did you say Phinehas?
Phinehas. Or Phinehas, yeah.
Phinehas? I like that. That's if we have a dog.
Yeah, Phinehas.
I like that. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So last time we heard about all the rest of the land being divided between the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about the city of refuge and how the Levites got.
Not Levites, but the Levites. Do they make Levi's at Levi? The Levites make Levi's?
No.
Levi's jeans?
No. Okay. I'm not even going to. No.
Okay.
Okay. So the Levites got peppered throughout the divided lands.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into this. We're going to do chapter 22, and I think we're going to try and get, we're going to try and finish this off tonight. We're going to go all the way to chapter 24.
Whoa. Okay.
Are you ready for it?
All right.
Okay.
So many questions.
I call chapter 22. No, there's no quiz, so you're good.
Oh, sweet.
But maybe I'll make one up as we go.
What?
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so chapter 22, and I call this one, Are You Kidding Me Right Now? So this is known as when the Eastern tribes return home. And so now Joshua decides to call a meeting with the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of
Manasseh, Manasseh, Mamakusa.
Nice. And tells them how good of a job they're all doing listening to what Moses wanted and listening to what he wanted. Joshua praises them for not deserting their fellow Israelites and completing their mission of taking over the land of Israel.
Okay.
So Joshua then tells the 2.5 tribes to head back to their homes out west that was promised by God on their side of the Jordan River, but warns them to keep following God's rules with all of their heart and soul, and Joshua blesses them before sending them packing.
Okay. What do you pack?
So his blessing, which sounded like, go back to the homes God gave you with all the stuff you took from the enemies you killed in all the wars and share it with your fellow Israelites.
Wow.
Yeah. And on their way back out west, though, the 2.5 tribes decide to build an altar by the Jordan River.
Wait.
Right. Like a really imposing looking altar. Like
Okay.
They get into it. It's a whole thing. So, and then Joshua and the Israelites heard about this and they were all like, the fuck? And decided to gather up. And they decided to gather up in town, in a town called Silo. And they planned to go to war with them. They literally just like sent them out. And then they heard that they're putting up an altar and they're like, okay, that's it. We got to go to war.
Wait.
Yeah. Doesn't take much for Josh.
He has no chill. No, none. Like, we're not talking about it.
No.
You're not going to. No warning?
No. Well, the warning is you got to worship God really hard. And they didn't, in his perspective.
Yeah, but you know, people sometimes, like, they're so excited. You get so, like, wow, we're just about to get. We're going to cross the Jordan River. We're going to have new land. Let's, like, how do we show this beautiful celebration? Let's create something. He could have just said, like, guys, I know you're excited. I know you're about to, like, have your new land. But this thing you're building, you need to stop right now.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't with them going back with them, right? He just heard about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, okay, but no, a little pigeon note.
I know. Okay. I know. So before starting the all-out war.
You just go to war. Like, right, come on. Right.
Okay. It's like they flip the coin. Like, bling, like oh, okay, war.
This war. Warning or war?
And so the Israelites decided to send a priest named Phinehas, who's the son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron. And he was the one who didn't like Midianite women partying with the Israelites. So he didn't like it so much that he stabbed a couple with a spear like Jason Voorhees for having sex in the dude's tent.
What?
Yes. This was way back.
Random?
We did talk about this. It was during one of those like raids where they're, and he was not having like any Israelites mixing with Midianite women.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did that? Aaron?
No, Phinehas. Okay, Phinehas.
Say Aaron's not about that.
No, Phinehas did that.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And fun fact. September 2nd is Saint Phinehas Day in the Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church.
Okay.
So they celebrate a guy who stabbed two people at the same time for having sex. For loving each other.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they came from different places. And they celebrate this guy as a saint.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's see. The Israelites also send 10 VIPs from the tribes to accompany Phinehas. So once they catch up to the 2.5 tribes, Phinehas is all like, a rebellion? Really? What the fuck is going on with you guys building an altar against God? Are you serious right now? Don't you guys remember when I was doing all that stabbing up in Peor and how fucked up things back then were?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you hate God so much? You know God is going to take this shit out on Israel, right?
So Reuben and Gad are all like, whoa, easy, son. You think we would risk our lives to rebel against God? We didn't build this to burn or sacrifice anything. We did it because our lands are separated by the Jordan River. And to avoid having your kids someday say to our kids someday that we have nothing to do with God, then what? So he's basically saying, like, because we're divided by this river,
okay,
we don't want your kids saying that we have nothing to do with God.
Okay.
Your kids can't be telling our kids in the next generation that we are separated from God because of this river. And that's why they're putting up this altar.
Okay. That's confusing.
Okay. They're putting up this altar to say we all worship the same God because they're worried that this river is going to make the kids think that they don't.
So it's kind of like a visual, like, hey, man, we're the same. Yeah. We're all on the same, same side, same God, everything. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
It's like a visual reminder.
Yeah. He's like, then what? Your kids not sharing God with our kids anymore? We built this to remind future generations that the river doesn't divide us.
Okay. Hey, man, what about a bridge? Saying
different technology, Shirley.
Right, okay. Man, so many lives would have been saved if somebody would have came up with a bridge.
So now Phineas is all like, well, why didn't you say so in the first place? We can relax, everyone. We thought you were gonna make God mad, but you're actually saving us from that. Thanks, guys. So
this Phineas saying got it.
Yeah. Then Phineas goes back to the Israelites and gets them all caught up with on the misunderstanding, and everyone was super happy. Everyone saw the altar as a sign of unity and decided to call it Ed.
And Joshua knows about this by now.
Okay. So everything's cool now.
Okay, cool. Oh, so no lives are okay. Cool. Yeah.
So in some scriptures they say that this altar is called Ed. But
why is it so simple? With names like
No. Right. No, it turns out that Ed actually is like the Hebrew word for witness or something like that. Anyways, so on in chapter 23. And I call this, please do not fuck this up.
Oh, no.
So this is Joshua's goodbye.
Oh, like he's old now?
Yeah.
Like he's about to die.
Yeah. Aww. So now everything is good.
Sorry.
I mean, does that mean the wars are going to stop and all that genocide is going to stop? And people are going to be able to live happily lives? Really? It's kind of a good thing.
Sorry. I don't know what I'm saying.
Anyway. So now everything is good in the newly colonized land of the Israelites. Mm. And Joshua is getting really old. So he decides to throw himself a get together with all the VIPs from the tribes. And it's all like, remember all that war? You know, the good times when God was fighting for us. Remember how I divided all the land and God promised us? Remember how God promised to push out all our enemies?
Okay, Joshua, you need to rest.
Well, don't forget to follow all the rules Moses told us about, okay?
Thank you, Joshua.
So Joshua then reminds them that there are still some enemies that live within their tribes. They're totally talking about the Canaanites, by the way. And that the Israelites should never serve them or bow down to them. And to just keep believing that the Lord will deal with them. Joshua then reminds how much ass-kicking God was doing for them and that they are undefeated, except for the Canaanites. Joshua also Joshua also explains how a single soldier in their army is worth 1,000 soldiers in anyone else's army, and that God fights for them and that they should show love to God like a whole lot.
Okay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm. So Joshua then warns them to avoid allying themselves mm-hmm. with
the Canaanites
or allying themselves with and marrying any of the non-Israelites. He tells them that God will abandon them if they do by making the non-Israelites snares and traps and will punish them with whips on their backs and thorns in their eyes until they're all dead.
Wow.
If they decide to ever be with a non-Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joshua tells everyone he is about to die and is all like, every promise God has made has come true, so don't fuck this up, y'all, because he'll burn everything to the ground.
And you'll have to lip sync for your...
legacy.
Well, you couldn't give me some echo?
I didn't set it up. Sorry. Yeah, I know. So... I'll remember for next time.
Thank you.
So on the chapter 24, last chapter.
You know there's going to be a whole lot of lip sync for your life in the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So last chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, and I call this one the death of Joshua. Aww. And so then Joshua gets all the VIPs to meet in a place called Shechem. And is all like, God says that a long time ago, your ancestors were heathens and worshiped other gods. But I'm the one who gave y'all Abraham and all. Oh, wait a second. God says that a long time ago, your ancestors were heathens. Okay. So this is Joshua saying this, but he's saying it as though God is saying it through him.
Like, okay.
Remember, this is what God said.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then Joshua gets all the VIPs to meet in a place called Shechem. Gotcha. And he says, God says that a long time ago, your ancestors were heathens and worshiped other gods. But I'm the one who gave y'all Abraham. So God is the one who gave them Abraham and all of his kids. I freed you from Egypt and sent them a bunch of plagues. I'm the one who had you in the wilderness for a long time. And when you were chased by the Egyptians, I'm the one who drowned them all. Mm. I brought you to the Amorites so you could slaughter them and take all of their shit.
Mm.
And when Balaam, the son of Beor, tried to curse y'all, I wasn't having it. Mm. So I made him bless you instead. Once you crossed the river into Jericho and the people fought back, I'm the one who gave them all to you to kill. Just remember, I gave you all this stuff. You didn't build any of this stuff. I gave it to you. So you better be scared of me. Don't you even think of worshiping the gods of your ancestors. You only get to serve me.
Mm.
You're either with me or you're against me. Then everybody was like, what? They're like, we would never turn our backs on God. What are you kidding us? After everything he's given us? No way. So then Joshua's all like, I'm just saying that he gets jealous and will kill you even if he's been nice to you all. That's all I'm saying.
Remember.
Yeah. So then everyone is like, Josh, seriously, we promise to only serve God, okay? Then Joshua was all like, He's like, aha, God heard that. And they were all like, yeah, we know, Jesus Christ, man. So then Joshua was all like, perfect. Now ditch all that remaining gods you have, all the remaining gods you have in your hearts. And everyone was like, okay, sounds good. And so he made all the folks in Shechem agree on all the laws he had written down in his book, which he called the Law of God. And then Joshua puts this big rock under an oak tree in a holy place for the Lord. Not exactly sure where that is, but whatever.
Mm.
So then Joshua says to everyone, well, what do you think? I made my own witness stone. So that way you can remember it's the promise you made to God.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. And then Joshua dies.
Rest in peace.
And supposedly he was 110 years old when he died.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was buried in a specific lot from his inheritance, just north of a place called Mount Yash. So Joshua and all the elders got to see everything God had given to the Israelites. And the bones of Joseph, who was Jacob's favorite son.
Okay.
Jacob back in Genesis 37:3. And he made his son Joseph a really fancy coat. Do you remember that?
No.
He had a few sons, but he made his son Joseph the fancy coat. And that's how come you know that he loved Joseph more.
Oh, okay. Not yeah. Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought in my brain, but it could be. I don't know. Let's see here. He was buried in a place Joseph was buried in a place Joshua bought for like 100 pieces of silver, which then became an inheritance for all the descendants of Joseph. And during this time, Eleazar, the son of Aaron and father of Phinehas, he dies as well and is buried in a place called Gibeah, somewhere in the hills of Ephraim, which is then given to Phinehas.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow.
We are done with the book of Joshua.
Much longer.
Next time we'll crack open the book of Judges and hear about the execution of more Canaanites, amputation, and the power of iron chariots. Woo! That's correct.
Rest in peace, Joshua. Come on.
Rest in peace.
Pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate. You gotta donate. Well, well, well. We learned about the book of Joshua.
And we finally finished to the end.
He got buried on the promised land.
And so was everybody else.
Sure, pass the plate. Tweet us, follow the show at Shirasaurus and Vanilla at Clovisaurus on Twitter. Tweet us your question. Tweet us your current shit going on in your town. Tweet us your random thoughts. Tweet, 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 tweet.
And do what?
Pass the plate and donate. Wow, Joshua. I'm excited to the next book. What'd you say? It was the book of what?
Book of Judges.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, how many books have we... That's so far. Like, I'm thinking four, five? Is it a fourth?
That was the sixth book. We're getting into the seventh book.
Wow. How many books in the Old Testament, do you know?
Oh, like 35.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. I don't know the exact number, but there's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I might be over guessing, but there's a lot.
Hey, man. I have a fun listy for us.
Let's do it.
11 disgusting ingredients you eat every day that food companies don't talk about.
All right, let's shut her down.
First one is red dye. You know the red dye when you
I knew about this.
Did you? The manicotti? I'm probably sure I'm not saying it right. Cherries anyway.
It's made with like beetle.
Yeah.
Grinded up beetles, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that means that
some people eat beetles without grinding them.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of protein.
Anyway, tomato products, cakes, jams, cherries, maraschino, that's how you say it, maraschino cherries. That means that you've also ingested at least 7,000 cochineal beetles. The bug is crushed up to make the red dye. Did you ice cream? Vanilla, particularly vanilla and raspberry flavors, might be enhanced by castoreum, which is a mixture of anal secretion and urine of beavers. It's also found in perfume.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The FDA approves this product because it's categorized under natural flavoring.
That's great.
Beer, fish bladder, like dried fish bladder. It gives beer its golden glow.
Tasty.
The BBC did a whole segment on the substance, which is primarily used in British beers, actually.
That's tasty.
Wendy's chili, I mean. I had never tried Wendy's chili. I like Tim Hortons chili.
I think that's the first time I heard about it. It was in Wendy's chili.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
One key ingredient is anti-caking agent, which is called silicon dioxide. The street name is sand or glass powder.
There's a street name.
Mm-hmm. It's a street name.
So wait, that stops it from like getting that skin on top or something?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I have no idea.
Okay, you ready to wrap it up?
No, there's more that I want to ruin. When you're... Come on!
All right, let's wrap it up, baby. Yep.
There's more! You can see more in the Chonilla group. I can't believe you shut me down like this. Wow. Thank you for joining, listening to the show.
I was going to have some beer.
But then I ruined
and
it for you.
Yeah, and I didn't want that in the back of my mind. Who knows what else I'm going to eat?
Chocolate rat hairs?
Go ahead, Shirley.
Thank you for listening. Email us chonillalove@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, on Stitcher, on any podcast player that you have to hear us. And don't forget to say no to an asshole. I forgot to mention in previous episodes, but it's very important. Don't forget to make the world a better place and say no to an asshole. And what's the quote for tonight?
It is, guys, you don't have to act manly to be considered a man. You are a man, so just be yourself. You don't have to prove your masculinity to anyone. And that was by Maya Yamanuchi. And she wrote a book called Embrace Your Sexual Self, A Practical Guide for Women.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, gum is made out of sheep's secretions.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Peace. That slavery and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love Teyana Taylor.
What did you say? Let's not all stand in one place.
Yeah. Isn't that recent?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I saw that. Did you see the video of the guitar player,
yeah,
though?
And he's, I like, saw him in the background. Like, oh. He was like, and I,
yeah, he's like, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, well, you know,
I'm going to shake my head because he shines my checks. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, exactly. Sign my check.
Exactly.
Bye.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review, I guess.